Let's turn together to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'll be reading verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The passage this morning has several different word pictures, and they're very familiar to us. One of them is so familiar that even cartoons have taken it up. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing. And you might remember some of the funny cartoons that describe the wolf trying to get close to the sheep and all of the antics it goes through, trying to capture and eat one of the sheep, and he's always foiled, but you can tell that he's getting closer when he finally puts on that the disguise so that he looks like a sheep, and he goes tiptoeing closer to the sheep and finally grabs one and is making off. And in the cartoons he is always foiled some way along the way, but it is a very well-known image, isn't it? We all know what it means when it talks about a wolf in sheep's clothing. And here again I want to remind you that Jesus is using a well-known word picture to describe something more than just plain sheep. He's describing the church. He's describing the people of God. And he's using a very well-known word image to describe the church and the people of God and what we face. It's a very interesting word picture, and he applies it in a very important way. And we're going to dwell on that this morning, because what Jesus teaches is this. He teaches us that the church will be plagued by wolves. The church will be plagued by wolves. Because of that, we need to beware. We need to beware. The church will be plagued by wolves, so we need to beware. And since Jesus uses these very colorful word pictures, I'm going to follow those two word pictures this morning as part of my outline, and I'm going to give you another word picture to help you understand this. So I'm going to start with a picture of a picnic and a patrol. Second, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And third, a tree and its fruit. Let's start with the warning that Jesus gives by thinking of a picnic and a patrol. Yesterday afternoon, there was a celebration Stillwater. And if you went over to Couch Park yesterday afternoon, you would have seen pony rides. You would have seen the great big inflatable bouncy toys that the little children like to get up on, the moonwalks and the things that you slide down. You would have seen putt-putt golf. You would have seen hot dogs and Coke. You would have seen balloons. You would have seen all of the things that go around a picnic. It was a great celebration, a very enjoyable time. If you were to go over to Iraq this morning, you would see a patrol. You would see soldiers that are in body armor, that have helmets on their heads, and they have automatic weapons in their hands. You won't see any inflatable moonwalks over in Iraq this morning. You won't see any pony rides or putt-putt golf or hot dogs. It's because there are two different things going on. One is a picnic and one is a patrol. They are very different things, aren't they? Now, I have no problems going on picnics. And in fact, there's something of a picnic to the Christian life. We can compare our life in Christ to a great celebration, can't we? In fact, Jesus even uses that imagery when he describes the great wedding supper of the Lamb. And we'll be celebrating communion this morning, which is in a sense a banquet, a feast. This passage has something different in mind, though. This passage has in mind a patrol. And there's something about the Christian life that it's important to understand as a patrol and not a picnic. Why does Jesus give a warning? Because God leads us on a patrol instead of a picnic. Why does he give the warning? It's because Jesus knew that false teachers or wolves would plague the church throughout its history. I have the pleasure of being involved in encouraging people in the life-changing, dynamic, wonderful process of the Christian life. And part of that process is to recognize where I am right now and where I should be. Part of the process is to say, well, right now I'm at point A, but God's Word says I need to be at point B. God is changing me. And by His grace, there are things that aren't right about my life, that don't reflect the glory of God. And there are changes that He's working in me. And in that process, one of the things that I do is to say that as God is changing you, don't be surprised that as you go from point A to point B, that you will experience a variety of things. You're going to experience some very joyful mountaintop victories over sin in your life. At the same time, you're going to go through some nasty, yucky, dirty, swampy areas. You're going to get muddy and you're going to fall down and you're going to fail at certain points. It's part of the process of the life-changing experience that God is working in you. And I say that so that we won't be surprised or discouraged. It's what we face in this life. Add to that analogy of journeying from one place to the next some of the military theme that you'll face enemy fire along the way. That there are snipers that are looking to shoot you down all along the Christian life. So you need to be on your guard. Think again about my opening illustration and imagine a soldier going into Iraq this morning looking for the moonwalk and thinking he's going on a picnic. He would be sorely disappointed, wouldn't he, when he goes out looking for the hot dogs and a sniper bullet goes past his ear. Well, no soldier would go into Iraq that way. He goes ready, willing, and able, well-equipped to face an enemy. And Jesus is warning us in this fashion that we are on a patrol, not a picnic. As he spoke to the Jews of his day, he was addressing a very specific mentality. The Jews had a picture of what the Messiah would bring. They thought that the promised Messiah would be this military victor who would come in on his white stallion and would kick out the Romans, would free them from all of the oppression that they would face, and that the Jews would have this incredibly easy, golden era kingdom life. that they would experience no troubles whatsoever. And Jesus confronted that opinion by saying that you're going to face opposition. In fact, there will be wolves that you face, and you must be on your guard. Commentator John Calvin says it this strongly: it is the will of the Lord that His church shall be engaged in uninterrupted war in this world. That's the will of the Lord, that we would be involved in uninterrupted war. There's the patrol in which God is setting us. Calvin goes on to say then that our faith, which is constantly attacked by Satan, must be prepared to resist. And he really says it well, doesn't he? That's Christ's aim in this message. That we will be plagued by wolves, so we must be on our guard. That's what Jesus was saying to the Jews of his day, and it's a message that still applies today. I don't know about you, but I find sometimes the attitude of the modern evangelical church to be similar of the Jews. It's a thought that sometimes comes across this way. In fact, it's even blatantly taught sometimes that the Christian life will be this life of ease, that you'll experience no troubles whatsoever in the Christian life. They'll even say that the endless pleasures that await you are just waiting for you to name it and claim it. And this age of comfort, this age and this idea of experiencing endless pleasures in this life are ideas that don't match Jesus' warning, do they? You would be wise to heed Jesus' warning here, to be on your guard against false teachers. To think of your Christian life as one without trial or any conflict just doesn't match the message of Jesus. And if you approach the Christian life that way, if you approach the Christian life looking for the moonwalk, you're going to be in for a rude awakening as you experience the trials of this life. They will leave you unguarded against the false teachers that are there. The comforting thing is that as a Christian, you have been claimed by Christ. You belong to Him. You belong to His kingdom. And Jesus calls you to be involved in this uninterrupted war. That's the calling of Christ. Where God calls us, He will equip us. He will train us, training our faith to be ready, willing, and able to serve. We do rest in Christ. There is that sense of being at ease because of what Christ has done for us. But in this passage, what Jesus is aiming at is that we would be ready to resist Satan and the temptations that he brings our ways. That brings us to the word picture that Jesus gives of a wolf in sheep's clothing. I want you to note well here that Jesus applies this especially to the issue of teaching, what we would call doctrine or theology. What he's teaching is that the church will face false teachers in our history. Again, he uses a very well-known proverb, the proverb of the wolf in sheep's clothing. And let's apply that then to the issue of teaching, the issue of the doctrinal life of the church. The first thing that Jesus is saying is that we will indeed face these false teachers. That was my point in thinking of the picnic and the patrol. The analogy then of a wolf in sheep's clothing is part of the warning that Jesus gives to us. How is it that the wolf can get close to the sheep? Does he just roar and snarl from a distance and come running up to the sheep so that everyone can see that he's coming? Well, in the analogy, he puts on a disguise, right? He puts on sheep's clothing so that he can get close to the sheep. And then, at his leisure, he can grab whichever one that he wants. False teachers can be that way. False teachers can be deceptive in their appearances. Sometimes Satan will even disguise himself as an angel of light. And so, too, he disguises those servants of his, those false teachings and false teachers, to look like sheep. Does that surprise you? Think through the history of the church and how many times the Christian church has been torn up from the inside out. Sometimes that happens on a more, even a more blatant way, where there are just out and out lies about God and about Christ that are clothed in Christian language. We could mention some of the false churches of today that clothe themselves to look like Christian churches. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Jehovah's Witnesses. These are what are, to the outside world looking in, they just look like another Christian church. And they clothe themselves that way. They want to be seen as just another Christian church. But while they wrap themselves in a disguise, when you dig down deep, you'll find that they say something opposed to the teaching of the Bible in regards to God, Jesus Christ, and the way of salvation. They will disagree with Scripture. They will show themselves to be wolves in sheep's clothing. Other times, wolves evolve, for lack of a better term. Ecclesiastical Darwinism, I'm not sure. I don't know what this is. What starts out as a good thing or trying to address an error in the church can evolve into something drastically wrong. I believe we're facing one of those evolutions right now in the Reformed Church. There's a teaching that is trying to address the easy believism of the modern evangelical church in a certain way. It's especially noted by a theologian named Norman Shepherd, and he's addressing a very appropriate concern, easy believism, the idea that it doesn't matter what you do or how you live. It's good to address that. That's a wrong position. But the way he is addressing it is to say that Christ's obedience is not given to us. He's denying something about our way of salvation and about the work of Jesus Christ. And there is an evolution, as it were, a coming in of a good thing, which is leading to something very bad and destructive. It's a seemingly small step and a pragmatic step that has, I believe, deadly consequences that we would be wise to be warned of. What Jesus says about the warning here is that underneath there are genuinely ravenous wolves. And if this teaching is, as I've suggested, it is a dangerous teaching that we need to be warned against. Ravenous wolves are the warning that Jesus gives to us, and it's a warning that echoes throughout the Bible itself. I read from Ezekiel 34, where even the shepherds were condemned for consuming the sheep. Even the shepherds were shown for what they truly were by their actions. And then on the other side of Christ, we have Acts chapter 20, where Paul says to the elders of the church that they are to shepherd the flock which Christ has purchased with his own blood. And he warns them. He warns them that there will be savage wolves that will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. It's the consistent message of the Bible that the church will be plagued by wolves. Wolves that will even disguise themselves as sheep. But there's a note of comfort even here. We don't need to be discouraged or alarmed. And you know why? Because God isn't surprised by those false prophets. God isn't fooled by any disguises. Oops. God knows exactly what is happening. God knows the sheep that are His, and He knows the wolves. And that great shepherd is the one that we serve. He's the one who equips us then to be discerning in turn, to understand the wolves that are in sheep's clothing. And He gives us a measure here. He gives us a measure of knowing them by their fruits. And that's the third word picture that I would give you this morning. The second one that Jesus gives is to know them by their fruits. This is an easy thing to understand too. Have you ever been out to pick strawberries? Or gone out to get peaches or pears or apples? Where would you go to pick strawberries? To a strawberry patch, that's right. Would you go out and try to find a strawberry in a thorn bush? Of course not. Would you go out and from a thistle try to pick an apple? That makes no sense, does it? It's because what do thorns produce? Thorns. What do thistles produce? Thistles. What do apple trees produce? Apples. And strawberry plants? Strawberries. Okay, I think we got that part down. So, how does Jesus apply that to us? He says that you will know them by their fruits. And there's a powerful promise that's given here. God gives you wisdom to identify the wolves. Isn't that comforting? This is what God is saying. That Jesus is saying that He gives us wisdom to identify those false teachers. He warns us to measure their teachings. He warns us to measure the teachers that come into church, to observe them, what they are saying, to observe their way of life. Paul, in fact, says that this is what we are to do, to observe even him and his teaching and his way of life, and to measure that against Scripture. Paul commends one of the churches that he established. He commended the Berean church. And do you remember why? It's because they took what he, as the apostle of God, was coming and telling them. And they carefully measured it against the standard of Scripture. And he calls them noble for doing that. In our family worship, we've been reading through 1 John. and following the table talk devotional. And it's been dwelling on the issue of false teaching in this last week. And there were false teachers that John was confronting who claimed that you didn't have to obey to be a Christian. And their lives proved it. And John is saying, just look at them and you will know. In many places throughout the New Testament, God warns the church that you will know them by their fruit. He even says that the fruit of the flesh is plain. This afternoon you might read through Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and you'll see that the Bible says that fruit of the flesh is very plain. It describes what they are, and then contrasts it with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit that grows from a life remade by Christ. God has given us a promise here. A promise that He will give us wisdom to discern those things that He is warning us about. He gives us a very serious warning that we will be involved in uninterrupted warfare from now until we are caught up in glory. So don't be surprised and don't be discouraged when the church faces false teachings. God is letting us know what's going to happen between point A and point B. He's warning us that He is sending us out on patrol, not on picnic. But He's also giving us a word of encouragement. And that word is that He knows who those wolves are, and He's giving us discernment to know and to identify them. You will be noble like the Bereans too, when you hold to the truth. The truth that God has given to us in the Scriptures, and truth with a big T, the person of Jesus Christ. By these words, by these proverbs, Jesus sets before us some very easily understandable word pictures. Ones that we can easily apply to our Christian life. And I pray today that you would be encouraged. That you would be encouraged to see your life as the patrol that Jesus Christ is sending you out on. That you would make every effort to be equipped by the means of grace that God gives you. The reading of His Word, prayer, the sacraments, the fellowship of believers. So that we will be that ready, willing, able soldiers of Christ that go out to face the world that He is sending us out into. And we can rest. Rest knowing that it is God Himself who is our captain, who is our great shepherd, who has defeated Satan himself and who knows the enemy better than we do. And He has claimed the victory and is crushing Satan under His and your feet. Let's bow before our Savior. Heavenly Father, equip us to be discerning in the Christian life. We take very seriously the warning that You give us that we will face the perils of false teachers and that some of them will be very deceptive to us. And we won't be able to sometimes immediately discern who they are. God, give us wisdom to weigh their teachings, to weigh their way of life, to be able to discern. God, I pray that You would, that You as our great shepherd would guard us and guide us, that we would be established by the work of Your hand. And as we go upon the patrol that You have set us, we pray for Your protection, knowing that You are the one who has gained the victory over Satan. I pray that we would heed this warning to be on our guard, that as we rest in Christ, that we would be comforted and guided by Your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn to Psalm 119M. God does give us wisdom to discern, and that way is to hold to His truth. And this is a psalm that expresses the love that we have for God's truth, that we hold to that. Let's stand and sing Psalm 119M.